Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. This week, I am answering a reader question.
Hi, Lisa. This is Carrie from Chicago. I sent you an email about a question about working on my projects, and I thought I would leave it on your voicemail as well. I made a list of projects that stay in my Sunday basket and also in my planner. And then every Sunday when I go to my Sunday basket, I look over the project list to figure out if there are any projects that I want to tackle. Most of the projects involve a bunch of other steps. Do you plan the steps for the week ahead, or do you just plan the project for that week? For instance, one of my projects would be to complete my son and daughter's baby scrapbooks. So when I plan for the week, would I pick out specific tasks underneath that project heading and try to plan just those? I guess what I'm really asking is how you handle your projects, because I feel like you always have a great process. So thank you in advance. And I am loving doing the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much for your question. Okay, projects. I love projects, but the older I get and the older my children get, the more frustrated I get with projects, if you know what I mean. Like when my kids were little, like they were toddlers or they were in preschool or even early years, school years, when I was working from home in a direct sales company, what I would do is I would set aside like this week, I'm going to make Christmas cards, and I would make like 150 Christmas cards from scratch. And because the kids would be with me in the family room and the kitchen area, I would set up that project in the dining room and pull it in on the kitchen counter as I wanted to work on it. Or I would stay up late and work on it. Or I'd take it up in my bedroom on the weekend and work on it, or go away for the weekend and work on it. And now I think it's because I have to drive my kids so much as teenagers. Like I'm never home. And when I am home, they're home, and they're not like confined to one area of the house. They're all over the house and they're teenagers. So they're becoming adult sized people. So it's not like they're little, they're big and they're in everything. And so they're really the only area of the house I have that's truly my own is my bedroom, which I love. And I usually do a lot of projects there, but I don't have a lot of long stretches of uninterrupted time. So some of the projects that you mentioned was like working on your child's baby album. Now that is something that I love because I've made hundreds and hundreds of albums. And when my kids were little, I was a scrapbooking consultant and I made an album every single month. That's what I wanted to do as a consultant. And that's what I did. So I set up a scrapbook area and I actually did it in my bedroom. I bought a piece of furniture that held all of the scrapbooking supplies, albums, pages, everything that I wanted from my personal scrapbooking. And then whenever I wanted to work on my albums, I would just set up a card table and I would do it right there in my bedroom, or I would come get the supplies out of my bedroom and take them down and work on it on the kitchen counter for a couple of days. But even though I'm pretty quick at getting an album done, like if I was going to do an album for someone, it still is going to take 15 to 20 hours to do that album. So very few people are going to have 15 to 20 hours where they could just drop everything and make a scrapbook, right? And even if you did, you're going to have to find that time again to make the next scrapbook or do updates, et cetera, et cetera. So what I usually did was I made my scrapbooks in stages. Like you've already said that you have different pieces of the project you can do. So that's exactly what I would do. I would look at my schedule for the week and I would say, okay, I have 5 extra hours in my week. So I could get all of the pictures printed and put them in chronological order for the book. That's what I would do. And then the next week I would say, okay, I have 3 hours this week. I can go through this stack of pictures and I can crop them all or corner round them or whatever. Because when I do pretty much anything, I do it like an assembly line, like Henry Ford, like I do everything in assembly line fashion. So because I do a lot of scrapbooking, I know how to cut pictures. Like if you do too, like if you look at a picture, you can tell if that's a beautiful picture and you just need to put, round the corners, or if what you were trying to take the picture of is in the middle and you need to cut that into a circle. Like you could tell when you look at a picture. When you cut your pictures that way, as opposed to finding some cute layout and then making your pictures fit the layout, the pictures always look the best. So that's what I would do the next week, is I would just cut all of those pictures. Then when I had more time, I would lay out my albums. So that's how I do photo albums is I will link to this in the blog post about how I do albums. So I get out these cardboards and I lay out what's going to be on each of the pages, and then I stack those up in a box. And then the next week I would maybe have gone to the store to get some embellishments or look at what I have. And the next week I would decide how I'm going to decorate that whole album, stack it up in the box. And then from there on out, I can grab any pocket of time, open up my album, open up my box, get out a tape runner, and all I have to do is install what's in the box into the album. So for a project like that, that's very hands-on, that's not paper related, that's how I would tackle a scrapbook. Now, what I find is I get really, really excited and obsessive about projects. Like I say, I'm only going to print the pictures and put them in order for that project, but pretty much somewhere I'm going to find another hour or two to actually get those pictures cropped. So when I get to week two, I'm already to the point where I'm going to lay them out. So you might be the same way. So I try to be realistic with what I say I'm going to get done. But then if I have extra time, I always try to squeeze more into projects. Now, another project like redoing my kids' bedrooms. When the kids were little, I would 1 week totally clear out and organize their rooms. And then maybe the next week I would, redo the bedding. And then the week after that, maybe I would paint one child's room. And the week after that, paint another child's room. This year, when I went to redo my kids' bedrooms, my kids each went up to my mom's for 5 days. So I would drive them up to my mom, meet her halfway, drop a child off, and then I would come home and have 3 uninterrupted days at home without that child in their room, and then go get their child at the end of that. So what I did on those days was I worked really hard the week before and the week afterwards on getting work done, so that I didn't work hardly at all when I was working on those projects. And then I literally got up when my husband went to work because it was summer, and I started sanding or painting or whatever I did, and I would work 10, 12 hours in those rooms until I was done, because I had to organize them, clean them, paint them, sometimes assemble new furniture, do all the finishing touches that you do on a bedroom, go through all of their clothes. I did it all. So I took a solid week and did that project that time. Then there are other projects. Like, for example, I just finished the 31 videos in 31 days, which was a really big project for me. I had a lot of moving pieces. I had never made videos of myself. Well, I had, but all the videos that I had made were right in front of a computer using the webcam. And I knew what I needed to do was start using my iPhone and using it as a regular camera on there so that I could upload it to YouTube and start to do other things. Though the video quality there isn't fantastic because it's not focused, but I figure it was my first attempt. But in order to do that, and this is what always happens with projects, like there's my goal. I'm going to force myself to make videos. So I'll do the 31-day challenge that the other bloggers are doing in October, and I'll do it about paper because I love paper. Well, I had to plan out the 31 videos that I was going to do, what I was going to talk about, what props I needed, and what blog post or podcast was going to go with those different things that I was talking about. Then I realized my office is hideous. Like, it's a closet, and I basically just got an IKEA furniture there and put in a desk and put up a bunch of shelves, but I hadn't done much else. So I needed to order a backdrop and not break the bank. So I had to do the backdrop. I had to finish putting things up in the wall in the closet that I had put off. I had to figure out, and this took a couple of hours, how to even use the video camera on my phone. And I have to use a couple different apps to crop it and then to upload it. Then I'd been putting off, but I knew about for a couple of years, this cowboy lighting system that you can get on Amazon because the lighting has to be right for video. And luckily, a couple of years ago, I had already bought a lavalier microphone, one that goes on your clothes. Like if you're on TV, you wear that kind. So you're not holding a microphone, but the audio is good on your video. So I knew that the video, the actual quality of the video would be the worst part of the 31-day paper organization video series. But I knew the content would be good. I knew that the quality of the audio would be good because I had good audio, and I knew the lighting would be good. So I had to do all those things before I could even start videoing. So when I sat down to video, if I had recorded one video a day and uploaded it, it would have taken me 3 times as long as it did. But what I did was I wore the same outfit and I recorded the videos on 5 different days. So the first day, I think I got like 17 done. I think I got 17 done the first day because I also recorded a couple of videos that weren't in the series. So 15 were in the series. Then the next time I did it, I recorded 10. The next time I did 2. Then there was one that I jumped in and did just off hand, I had to record it individually, and then I finished up with the last two. So I had five different recording days where I just recorded, 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 recorded. And then I set aside another chunk of time where I sat down and I edited and uploaded, edited and uploaded, edited and uploaded the videos from my phone. Then I set aside another chunk of time where I sat down and I wrote all the notes that go in the YouTube about the video, also put it on the blog, put it on social media, and made sure it was all right for Google and got it all scheduled. I got everything scheduled. So you can see that one project had all these different moving time pieces. So how I organized that was I had in my Sunday basket a slash pocket that said 31-day video series. And every Sunday, I would look at that and figure out how much more I needed to do and keep trying to stay ahead of when things were due. And then I would have, for that one, when I would get ready for the series, I would pull out all of the clips or whatever I needed that I needed as props for that video. And as soon as I was done, I would write down all my notes for what I was telling you I would link to in the podcast. Like I think I just told you, yeah, I told you I would link to in this one about the scrapbooking, how I scrapbook so I wouldn't forget later. So you can see that's how I do it. And I put those notes in that 31 video pocket in my Sunday basket. Now I have a Sunday basket. And I have a work basket, which is a Sunday basket for work things, but I have a third basket. And my third basket is my this week basket. Now I told you I have this cute little magnetic clip that you can clip things on the refrigerator for this week. I would need like, I don't know, 18 clips because I tried to do way too many things, but I wouldn't have it any other way. Like as soon as I'm down to like 14 things to do, I'm creating new things to do or creating new products. And you guys already know that because you follow me. So that's how I organize those kind of projects. And when I have something like that 31-day video series, which is not like scrapbooking, like scrapbooking is second nature to me. So I told you those five steps that I would do in scrapbooking, but the 31-day video thing was new. So what I did in that case was I made a master list of every single thing that was going to have to happen while I did that. Like, what did I need to do the office and what did I need to order in order to do videos whatsoever? So the lighting and the backdrop and all of those things. Then I made the list of the 31 things I was going to video about with a little bit of space to brainstorm what props I would need, what links I might have, and to put them in order. So that like I talked general paper organization, then I talked all about binders, then I talked all about files, then I talked about the clips that I made and the binders that I made for sale because those happened during the, I was going to show you different things, but out of making those videos came those products. So I'm really, really excited about that. But when I went to edit those videos, which was a new skill for me, I had to make this really, really detailed checklist. So on there would say, edit video. Then I had to upload it to my computer. Then I made a cover picture. So I had to go into PicMonkey and make 31 cover pictures that would have the week or the day and the right little tagline. Like, am I talking about slash pockets or colored files or color-coded clips or whatever? Then I had to download those to my phone and smush those two together in this new program and then upload that to YouTube. Change the title, change the description, and you could see I had like this checklist of 25 things to do for each video. But that was really helpful. If I didn't have that checklist with doing so many repetitive tasks, I would have missed different steps for different things. So when I had that list, I could look on Sunday night. This is my roundabout answer to your question and say, okay, I have 5 hours for video and what are the things I have to get done this week and what do I want to get done this week? So basically what I'm saying is you're doing it exactly right. You're doing exactly how I do it. I have something in my Sunday basket that reminds me I'm working on this project and I can put any notes that I want in there. And then I have some kind of a list, like you have your planner. I have a list in my ongoing weekly basket about all of the tasks that need to be done in order to get that project completed. And whenever I have extra time or I'm looking at when the deadline is and how much time I have, I go and I pick out how many of those tasks I can do. Now, my favorite thing to do is to do projects the way I did my kid's bedroom. Like if I had my druthers and I could have whatever I wanted, I would have a week solid, like at a hotel maybe, and I would get all my podcasts for the entire year recorded, the podcast done, uploaded, and everything done. At the end of that week, all the podcasts are done. or all the blog posts are done, or all the whatevers are done, because I love that completed feeling. And the frustrating thing about projects, even though you love doing them, is I love having them completed. And it's hard to get to the completed part. So if you can break it out into different sections, then you can have different sections completed. So the best way that I can do that in the things that I have going on that are ongoing, like podcasting, blogging, video making, I mean, these are never ending. I'm never going to be done podcasting. I'm never going to be done with whatever. Right now, I am batching podcasts. So I am finishing recording the third podcast, and I'm hoping to get through two or three more before I have to go get my daughter. Because once I have my mic out and I'm making my notes and I already know what the order of the podcasts are going to be, it's much easier for me to stop this, take some notes, and get started on the next podcast than to write one blog post and then do one podcast and then do one video in each day. You save literally like 60% of the time. Like, I can get three times as much done when I batch tasks. So if you have 20 minutes a day to work on your scrapbooking, what I would suggest you do is find where you could pull 20 minutes out of all the other days and move those tasks over. Like, let's say you do housekeeping, you do 20 minutes of housekeeping every single day. Then what I would encourage you to do is do 30 minutes of housekeeping 4 days a week, so that when you get to Friday, you have 2.5 hours that you can spend scrapbooking. Now, that might not work with you, especially if you have little kids, but you see what I'm saying. Like if you always study at night because you're taking a night course, then try to study more on the other nights so that you have a longer amount of time to do the scrapbooking when you get to it. Because whenever you sit down, I'm sure you'll resonate with this. You sit down to do the scrapbooking, and the first thing you ask yourself is like, okay, where did I leave off? Did you say it before I said it? Because I always go, where did I leave off? Like, if I'm going to do blogging or whatever, all right, where did I leave off? When I came back into the kids' rooms the next morning to work on their bedrooms, I'd be like, all right, where did I leave off? What was I in the middle of? What was the next step? Sometimes it only takes like a couple minutes. You're like, oh yeah, this is where I was. I need to get going. But those couple of minutes add up over time. So if you can rearrange when you're doing your projects and how long you're doing your projects and have more batching, that will help too. Okay, the third thing I'm going to say about projects is, you know, the scrapbooking one was have a system. And then when I was talking about the video one, I was talking about batching and, you know, organizing it that way. Then the other thing that I do to get a ridiculous amount of projects done is I try to pick a different project per month. So I am itching to scrapbook. Like, I really, really want to be scrapbooking right now, but I keep putting it off because I know that I almost always scrapbook in January and for sure in July. Now, there are two reasons for this. One, it's a little bit slower with consultants, you know, with organizing jobs. Most people in July go out of town. You would actually think there would be a lot of people wanting to hire professional organizers in January, but I could tell you why I think it's not that way. Because you guys think you can organize yourself in January. It's a new year. This is the year. You're going to do it without me. But then you call me in February. So I still have a job in February. But in January, like that end of Christmas and the first couple weeks in January typically are not really busy for me as a professional organizer. And I always had my annual scrapbooking retreat Martin Luther King weekend. It's a long weekend. And that's when I always would get caught up on my books when I was a consultant and I led it. So now I still do that at my house. So Martin Luther King weekend, I'll have all my scrapbooking stuff bought, all my pictures printed. And I will spend that 3 or 4 days scrapbooking and getting all caught up until July, and then I'll scrapbook. So I scrapbook 6 months at a time during those time frames, the 4 days in January, and then the week that we go to the beach in July, I spend scrapbooking that week of the year too. So in 11 days, I scrapbook all of the stuff that we have. And because I wait and I don't do it every single month, I can get a lot more done faster because I'm batching it. So think about the different projects that you want to do and if they're done a certain amount of time. So like, for example, your kids' birthday parties are always going to be a certain time of year and you put it all in that time. You don't do a little bit for their birthday parties all year long. Same with Easter, Halloween, Christmas, all of those holidays tend to get lumped right by the holiday. Try to do the same thing with other projects that keep coming up. So yard projects, kind of logical. We do those in the summer. And home improvement related projects, we do those in the winter. But once you know that, Like right now, it's the fall, and the list of things in our house that are needing to be fixed is getting kind of long because we're enjoying the last few days of nice weather outside. And I don't want to be inside fixing doorknobs and a light bulb somewhere when I could be outside with the dog, right? So it makes sense to sometimes delay some of those projects until different times of year. Okay, I hope that made sense. I hope that made sense and gave you guys some ideas of how you can organize your projects, both with the Sunday basket and lists and chunking, and then picking out different months throughout the year to really focus on different tasks.